Very good morning to you. Thank goodness it is Friday. And oh boy, it's that Friday that's very, 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 it's a cold Friday for that matter. Really, 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 really cold. It reminds me when I was a student in Pretoria, you know, during winter, they have this kind of cold that you just feel in your bone, you know, even if there's not that wind blowing, there's always that cold. No matter how much you put on, you still feel that cold right in your bones. So it's very cold this morning. Very good. Good and cold. I hope you are warm enough. Wherever you find yourself, make sure that you are warm enough. It's a beautiful morning, beautiful Friday morning. Welcome to Eagle FM, and this is Unpacking the Day, the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we're here to make sense of it all together. So, but it's not just about us talking, it's about you. Share your thoughts, opinion, and perspective on the topic that matters most to you. This is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of stories. So our time is about 36 minutes past the hour of 7. It is the 27th of June. The year is 2025. So let's get to our segment on this day in Africa. So what do we have today on this day in Africa? So welcome to On This Day in Africa. So the 27th of June... on the 27th of June 1977, Djibouti, previously known as French Somaliland, officially gained independence from France. Hassan Goled Optidom became the country's first president. So despite its sovereignty, the strategic Horn of Africa nations continued to host multiple foreign military bases, including French and the American facilities. And on the very same day, on the 27th of June, 1693, Sheikh Yusuf of Makassar, a royal religious leader exiled from the Dutch East Indies, was forcibly sent to the Cape of Good Hope aboard the ship Voetbug, along with about 49 followers. This marks a significant moment in the early Muslim heritage of South Africa. And on this very same day, on the 27th of June, 1967, Andre Arense, one of the renowned South African goalkeeper, was born. She was born on this day, 27 June 1967. So he would go on to become one of the country's most celebrated footballer. And in 1976, on this very day, an outbreak of the Ebola virus began in Sudan, specifically in the town of Nzara. So the first victim, a factory storekeeper, died on June 27th. This event marked the first recorded instance of the Ebola virus epidemic, with a total of 284 cases reported and approximately half of the victims succumbing to the disease. And also today June 27 is also recognized as Micro, Small, Medium-Sized Enterprises Day. So this is your day, the MSME, it's your day today. So this day is highlighting the importance of small business, which are vital to many African economies. So is MSMEs day to day. So it's an international a small business, a micro, small and medium-sized enterprises day. So whoever finds yourself in this sector, so happy day to you today. So, yes, that we have for you this morning in this day in Africa. So let's, the Thursday, the 27th of June, what is the thought for this day? What is the thought? What the thought that we want you to have this morning? So, lying will get you a wife, but it won't keep her. Lying will get you a wife, but it won't keep her. Now, the proverb serves as both a caution and a moral lesson about fleeting power of deceit in a relationship. So a lie can help you impress someone enough to form a romantic bond, such as getting married, and it create a favorable first impression or conceal flaws. Over time, lies corrode trust when the truth emerges, which it inevitably does. It inevitably will definitely, the truth emerges. So emotional bond breaks start to break and their relationship may fall apart. So while lies might bring you short-term wins, they undermine long-term stability and fulfillment. So that's the thought of the day. Lying will get you a wife, but it won't keep her. So basically what it means is that lying, you know, while lies might bring you, might bring short-term wins, they undermine long-term stability and fulfillment. So that's our thought for the day. So good morning. If you're just waking up or if you just, you know, maybe you're on the road to work. So thanks for making us your choice and thanks for being in the company of Eagle FM. So, as I always said, that's our pleasure. That's what we do best. Yeah? Thanks for choosing Eagle FM this morning and for joining me here on Unpacking the Day. So, when we come back, so we will get into what we hope to do or what we expect, you know, to talk about or get into today. So stay tuned. We will be back.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha would take Rakaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafas and Anana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikemoshiwana, E. Moyao, or Tangongotisa Mene, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, or Jika. Say Sanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupiramo, Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yu mo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma onoraje tatu imu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niaji. Eagle FM,
Ice.co.za.
A very good morning to you. A very good morning to you this on this cold Friday. I hope you are fine. You're fine wherever you find yourself. Some parts are very, very, very cold. It's for us here in this in Ondangwa. It's okay. It's cold. It's really cold, but it's the kind of weather that it's not that. I think it's not as cold as probably as winter or the south, because you are some of those places that you are in the minus. That must be really, really, really cold. And especially in the south is, it's funny, you know, when it's hot, it becomes so hot. And when it's cold, it's extremely cold. Yeah. So welcome. Let's warm up your day at least. Maybe with some positive news or update or, you know, some of the things maybe that will really, really warm you up. I definitely gonna warm you up. All right. So what are we gonna look at 8 o'clock? We're going to have a member of parliament. I'm gonna be talking to a member of parliament, Ina Hengari, not Anna, Ina Hengari, on the emotion that actually she bring up in the parliament. So, and before I speak to her, let's look at some of the proposed reform that she's actually advocating, and then we will be then talking to her and interrogate her on some of the aspect that she's proposing in the parliament. So now, first of all, Namibia is really grappling with according to her now. I'm actually now talking, you know, things that she highlights, she spoke about, which I will definitely ask her on when we come. But I want to just put you in the picture of what we're going to talk about or the issues that she have highlighted, so you have an idea exactly of the things that she, if you didn't maybe listen to her in the parliament or read it in the newspapers. Yeah. So Namibia is grappling with structural debt crisis that affect nearly half of its workforce, particularly civil servants like teachers or nurses or clerk, whatever, you know, as long as you are a civil servant. Now, according now to the Member of Parliament, Ina Hengari, some workers lose up to 60% of their salaries to loan repayment. So that's leaving them now without, that's leaving them with insufficient income for basic need. Someone is knocking on my door. Maybe let me find out, how can I help? Very good morning to you. How can I help you?
Morning, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
What time is the program starting?
Which one?
The one for the interview.
So the interview start at 8 o'clock. So yeah, but the program have started already, and I'm explaining even some aspect that I will be asking in the interview. So just stay tuned. Eh?
Okay.
All right.
So at 8, I can call in line.
No, after 8, the interview will start at 8, and then after the interview, then you can come. Yeah, you can call in. Okay.
Okay. Will be around 8:30.
Yeah, so around there, we should be, the interview should be done. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's good to have some people that are already, you know, even we've been getting into the topic. Some people already want to call in. I don't know on what. All right. But you're most welcome to come back later on after the interview. But listen also to the issues. Listen to the issues. What we want to do, we want you really to know what we're talking about, not just come and just say, you know, for the sake of saying, all right? So we really want to seriously engage some of this, of this discussion. That's why we bring them up here. Yeah. Now, this situation, of repayment, leaving now many unable to have enough income to do to attend to other basic needs. This is a situation now she described as a financial entrapment. Financial entrapment, which is driven by the interest rates. So sometimes exceeding 50% from informal lenders and digital loan apps. So, and also from a financial system, as she said, that a financial system that prioritizes banking sectors. It's prioritizing banking sectors' growth over home household stabilities. So, yes, as she argues that the 50% sometime now that 50% of interest rate from informal lenders and digital loan app is a system actually that prioritize banking sector growth rather than actually or over household stability, over the need of individuals. So the fixed exchange rate the fixed exchange rate with South African rand further complicated matters by limiting monetary policy flexibility, resulting in lending rate between 10% and 40% despite a lower repo rate in Namibia. So those are some of the issues still she thinks that really, really put pressure on a repayment by some of the civil servants. So now, what is the solution according to her? So the Velvetia, sovereign wealth fund, which was actually launched in 2022, with an initial injection of about 262 million, approximately 16.15 million US dollars. So actually that one is designed to enhance national resilience and promote intergenerational prosperity through revenues from non-renewable resources like maybe oil and minerals. So yeah. So and its current value now, the value of that, it's 24.3 million US dollar. So reflecting actually a growth from 10.4% return. Now, the reason why I'm going through all that is just to help you understand that now Hungary now proposes using part of this fund for a targeted debt relief program. A targeted debt relief program to alleviate now the financial burden on civil servant and low income household. So that's where the crux of the matter comes in. So that's now she now proposing that we must use part of this fund for a targeted debt relief program now to be able now to alleviate the financial burden on the civil servant and also on low-income households. So now, what she's saying is that this could now involve direct debt cancellations or restructuring loan to reduce repayment burdens. So, and although there aren't really, there's still the, this review is still under actually the parliament committee. So, the specific remain under review by the parliament committee. So that hasn't been sorted out yet. Yeah. So, but the gist is of what she's proposing. It's quite clear now. So the proposal to use the Valvestia fund, that in itself is the controversial. Yeah. That in itself is the controversial. It is controversial. And that's why we would have her here. That's why we would like to have her here and make her stance clear. So, or her proposal clear or her motion clear. So, because the fund's primary purpose, the Valvestia fund, main purpose is to save for future generations. That's what the fund is all about. So it's to save for future generation with two counts. One is on a liquid stabilization account to counter economic shocks. So, and the other one is a long-term intergeneration saving account. So you have those two accounts in that Valvestia fund. So, and that's why now, the critic argues that, diverting now funds for debt relief could undermine this goal. So, and this is some of the contentions, or the argument, some critic has put forth. So that means that saying that, well, if you're diverting this fund, for debt relief, it could really undermine its goal, its purpose, potentially leaving less for, let's say, for example, it's if you now you're using it for debt relief, that potentially would leave less money for what it's intended to, for infrastructure or for economic stability. So, and Hungary counter that. He countered that, the immediate crisis. So she countered that the immediate crisis where households are crumbling under debt, said requires an urgent action. So he said, well, I understand that, but this requires an urgent reaction. I mean, urgent action. So, and the funds return could actually support now both the relief that she's talking about and the long-term goal, if managed, carefully. So, and we will definitely, ask her in that regard as well. So, yeah. So now Hungary's, plan is not just about debt relief but it's extend beyond the debt relief as well. So it's talking about now capping interest rates, amending the Banking Institution Act to limit loan interest rates, which could make borrowing more affordable and reduce the debt burden. So she's also talking about the regulating informal lenders, strengthening the oversight of informal lenders and digital loan apps, which often charge exorbitant rates. These are normally a charge exorbitant rate to protect vulnerable. This is now the idea is to protect the vulnerable borrowers. And then the financial literacy campaign. She also talked about then the financial literacy campaign. This is now to expanding financial education nationwide to empower Namibian to manage their finance better and avoid a debt trap. So she's not just, saying this should be, the fund should be used just to support debt relief, but also looking at holistically how maybe this could be addressed. She talked about also the duty of financial education. And I will ask you about this using the upcoming instant payment solution platform to deliver accessible financial literacy resources, potentially reaching rural and underserved communities. So that's something that we can also. And social investment portfolio, which means that redirecting part of the the Virtue Fund to support now youth enterprises, green cooperatives, and small businesses, which could create then job and stimulate economic growth and reducing that reliance on loans. So those are some of the aspects, and I just wanted to there are also issues. You talked about the currency peg challenge, the currency peg to South African rand, how that limit the Bank of Namibia's ability to adjust monetary policy and lending to higher borrowing costs. So now stay tuned. Let me see if I can get a hold of her and see what we can get into. So stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus's cutting edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, welcome to Unpacking the Day, live on Eagle FM. So households across the country are drowning under a structural debt crisis. Civil servants are losing up to 60% of their incomes to interest payments. Ordinary families are trapped in what Member of Parliament Ina Hengari called financial entrapment, not inclusion. That's why today we are dipping into her bold proposal, tapping into the $24.3 million the Virtuous Sovereign Wealth Fund. Yes, the fund that are meant to secure our kids' future, to fund targeted debt relief and cap exploitative interest rates. So please join me in welcoming to the show Member of Parliament Ina Hengari. Good morning, Ms. Hengari, and thank you for being here this morning.
Well, good morning to you too, and good morning to the listeners and to all Namibians. And thank you for having me. It's quite a pleasure to be here with you, to share a lot of views, but we'll see how this goes.
Yeah. Now, before we get to the motions that,
yeah.
that you actually tabled in the parliament, let's start from, start a little bit broader. So what is the reality for everyday Namibians struggling with debt right now? So how did we get to this point?
Well, the reality is that we have nurses, teachers, and even public servants.
Yeah.
Let's start with teachers, right? We have teachers who go to school every day to teach our kids, to enlighten them about a bright future. But at night, they are begging with loan sharks for a loan. or they're begging with loan sharks to say, look, I need an extension on this debt because I can't pay. I can't settle at this moment.
Yeah.
We have nurses who save lives by day and also beg with loan sharks at night. We have a number of people, man. I mean, you know, the one thing that I can tell you is that, and I think there is even a report on it. There's a situational report on Namibia, a country report on Namibia.
Yeah.
Where they actually did a study on the debt levels or the debt prices in Namibia.
Yeah.
And they found that half of our population is drowning in debt. This is obviously not it's not a byproduct of economic activity or anything like that.
Mm.
It is as a result of a system, an economic and financial system that is tilted against the most vulnerable in society.
Yeah.
So yes, of course, there are a number of contributing factors, right? You have, for example, farmers.
Mm.
Who rely and rely on farming to make ends meet.
Mm.
And when those ends don't meet, they go to a loan shark or they approach the bank, whether it be the Agri Bank or any other commercial bank or banking institution, to fill the gap. But when you really look at a broader picture and when you try and envision what the issue is, it all comes back to Namibians are not making enough to meet their needs, their day-to-day needs.
Mm.
This is not a question of people borrowing to live a fancy life.
Yeah.
It's a question of people borrowing, or it's a situation where people are borrowing to make ends meet. To make ends meet means people actually approach commercial banks and these financial institutions to have bread on the table. Because their salaries do not meet the needs at home.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Now you describe this as a structural debt crisis. Can you unpack that? Can you unpack what that means for someone like now, a teacher or a nurse trying to make ends meet?
Right. You look at institutions like, let's talk, in 2024, there was actually a report.
Yeah.
That revealed that in just 6 months, a financial lending institution like Letsego made 199 million in just 6 months profit.
Yeah,
this is after tax. This is the profit in 6 months. If a financial institution can make 199 million, we must, as leaders of this country, it's a red flag for us.
Yeah,
it must be concerned. Because then you begin to ask, are the policies and legislation in place protecting Namibians against exploitative practices of financial institutions? And that is really the truth. You have, in fact, there was a report at some point, there was a report last year, 2023-2024, there was a report that actually exposed the profits of banks. We're talking about Nedbank, we're talking about FNB, we're talking about Capricorn, we are talking about Standard Bank, right? They made about 2.9 billion combined profit in just 1 year. In just 1 year.
Mm.
So I agree with the colleagues. You know, Honorable Tobias Opindi spoke on the very motion that we're talking about now. And he said something that actually stuck with me.
Yeah.
If a financial institution is coming to your country, right? Let me try and give you a case study.
Yeah.
If a financial institution, say Eagle FM or Eagle banking institution or whatever financial banking institution, comes to a country like Namibia and says, I want to do business in your country, what would be your first question as a lawmaker or even as a leader of this country?
Mm.
You would want government priorities to be aligned to the objectives of that very financial institution. Of course, colleagues, we have studied economics. We know that financial and commercial institutions are there to make profit.
Yeah.
But to what extent should their objectives or should the objectives of financial institutions, right, be proportionate to the national priorities.
Mm.
How do I, as a member of parliament, come to parliament each and every day and say, listen, housing is a government national priority. Housing, in fact, in our constitution is a human right.
It's a human right, yeah. Mm.
And that's the truth. Housing is a human right. But what we have now is a situation where we have commercial and financial institutions that have mastered the art of commodifying access to basic rights, like housing. So if you want a house in Namibia, banks will make sure that you pay.
Yeah.
And you will pay a lot.
Yeah.
In fact, Honorable Sylvia Opindi says that the banks will milk the hell, they will milk the hell out of you. So what we really are trying to do is not to say, let's have an overhaul. We understand basic economy. We understand that we live in a capitalist system, right? But it must not get to the extent where our citizens access to basic human rights like housing is now commodified, and they will be milked. They will be milked by this institution without any regulation. And of course, like I always say, banks must not be insulated from accountability.
Yeah.
When we are asking for accountability in parliament, when we're talking about institutions that are not or that do not seem to be contributing to national priorities, then it must become an honest and open conversation.
Mm. Yeah, you said some workers lose up to 60% of their salary to loan repayments. So how does that really affect a family trying to get by, you know?
Listen, one of the things that I've learned when I brought this motion thinking that, you know, I'm going to highlight the financial architecture of Namibia.
Mm.
One of the things that I actually learned is that this crisis goes beyond Ina Hengari. It goes beyond Toby Opindi. It goes beyond PDM Swapo. It is a shared crisis. I personally have engaged with a number of people.
Yeah.
In fact, part of some of our citizens actually take a loan to repay another loan.
Yes, sure. Yeah.
Because it gets to a point where these financial institutions actually say, we're going to blacklist you. How many of us actually have been in that situation? I have been in that situation, even with NASFA.
Yeah.
The Students Financial Assistance Fund, where they've said, if you're not going to pay your loan, we are going to blacklist you, we're going to enlist you on this system and so forth.
Yeah.
Right? Not understanding, and Professor Mpanda says something, and he says, we need to make sure that when we talk about finance, when we talk about this debt crisis, we need to ensure that we also talk about Namibian financial or this the culture. What's the culture when it comes to finance?
Yeah.
So it most of the time it becomes a shock, because now you have 60% of your salary that goes to a loan shark and you only get 40% of that.
Mm.
There's actually a video on Twitter that I always, and my friends always laugh about and joke about. And there's a gentleman who says that when it comes to this civil servants, police officers, teachers, and nurses.
Yeah.
On payday, if you want to go check their payslips, it's 410. That's what they are left with. It may seem funny at the point. That's the lived reality of many of these guys.
That's true, yeah.
Mm. And I am telling you that we can talk about personal responsibility, responsible borrowing, and all that. You can talk about that. But for as long as we have a system that is predatory, because in my conviction, I truly believe that our financial system is a predatory system.
Yeah.
Because instead of ensuring that Namibians have access to safe credit, we actually just expand this predatory credit scheme.
Mm.
It must be a loan, you know, constantly. If it's to student funds, let's make it a loan. Huh?
Yeah.
Funding to access to housing, no, let's make it a loan. Banks call it a home loan. Do you understand?
Yeah.
We have a loan. This Western concept of loans, it doesn't work.
Mm. Now,
so at some point, we must interrogate what is the system that could work for us as Africans, but also as Namibians specifically.
Mm. And that comes now to your proposal. So the Virtuous Sovereign Wealth Fund is a big part of your proposal. For those who don't know, just for our listeners' sakes, what is this fund meant to do? And why do you think it is actually the right tool for debt relief?
Well, the Malvitia Fund is a fund that was established as a sovereign fund, number one.
Yeah.
Government at some point felt that we needed a fund that is owned by the people and where people could easily have access to money, whether it's for business or just for sustainable development in general.
Mm.
Now, what we discovered is that the fund has grown to about 24 million US dollars.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. And of course, with a 10.4% return. If in my proposal, I say that if we can put the sovereign wealth to sovereign use and not to accumulate for accumulation's sake,
yeah,
we can use it to stabilize lives and build resilience. Imagine what that fund could do, right? For a young graduate who is burdened by student loans to receive a low interest restructuring plan. That will grant that student room to breathe. That is what financial justice looks like.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Mm.
Yeah, but beyond that, we want, in my proposal, I also say, I want the Valvita fund to also include a dedicated social investment portfolio that would support micro enterprises, youth-led ventures, renewable energy cooperatives that offer employment, and also innovation outside of the formal credit system.
Yeah.
I actually like that this motion brought so many perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
I even got to learn that when you're talking about debt in Donga, it's called Engunga.
Yeah.
and Professor Mpanda, Honorable Mpanda said in Parliament that our system, when the bank asked him for basically his credit, because they needed to analyze and study his credit structure. And he went, because in thinking that, okay, I need to tell now the bank what I don't owe, because I need to show them that I don't owe anyone.
Yeah.
But he later found out that, no, he needed to get Menjo to get Angel.
Yeah.
You understand?
Mm.
And that is the system that we are operating in, unfortunately. So we have such a huge task, and the committee that will have to deal with this motion really has to go over and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing that I must put as a disclaimer. You know, one of the things truly, and I'm going to say this from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah.
While we understand, that businesses operate for profit and so forth, and while we understand that there's also an expectation, and there should be an expectation from the people, the sovereign people of the country, from those very financial institutions, we can't also forget about the state obligation to Namibian citizens.
Mm-hmm.
We must never forget that.
Yeah.
One thing I always say is that when government starts to fail to deliver on basic needs, like housing, like education,
yeah,
financial institutions see that as a gap in the industry. In fact, in entrepreneurship 101, you learn this in grade 8.
Yeah.
One of the things I always tell you is that you must find a gap when you want to start a business. You must find a gap. What is it that everybody is not doing?
Mm.
But in this case, the banks sit down and ask, what is it that government is not doing? Government is not building affordable housing.
Yeah.
And so they find a gap and they exploit that gap.
Yeah.
And in turn, also exploit the consumers, which are Namibian citizens, because you want housing, and we are saying, look, a house that is worth that is the same value as a car. We want you to pay a car that you can pay off in 5 years.
Mm.
We want you to pay for this house for 20 years.
Yeah.
You must pay it off in 20 years. The first 10 years, you must pay off the interest, but the second and then the next 10 years, you now start paying off the house. And that's unfortunately the system that we find ourselves in.
Yeah. Now with the Valvita Fund, some people might say, using the fund for debt relief is like spending our kids' saving, you know? And how would you respond to those who want to keep it untouched for future generation?
But how is accessing, as I say, for instance, as a civil servant, or as a, yeah, civil servant, let's use that example.
Yeah.
How is accessing your personal fund from GIPS, your pension fund,
different?
A portion of that, not also spending from the future of your people.
Yeah.
Right? We have a sovereign fund that we're saying we want this fund to assist low-income households. We want to help the most vulnerable, those who are living below the line,
yeah.
Right? And the Vulnerability Fund, really, if you even look at the mandates and the objectives of it, was to say that it is aimed at ensuring sustainable development by addressing the most vulnerable in society.
Yeah.
So of course, Vulnerability Fund is not the only recommendation that we have made. Yeah. We even, in fact, I even went further to say, what happened to NAMSACO? NAMSACO was an initiative by the former Prime Minister, who is now the Speaker of Parliament, Honorable Sarah Kukongera Mabina. And one of the things that she said was, we want to create a credit scheme. And it's a makeup of government employees, you know, at regional and central government level, where they could easily secure credit from government without interest by committing a certain portion of their salaries to that very NAMSACO.
Yeah.
So at some point, we have to forego short-term gains for long-term gains, right?
Yeah. Mm.
And that's just how, unfortunately, the system works.
Yeah.
What are the issues with NAMPISA? We've raised that question several times. NAMPISA is the primary institution that is actually mandated to regulate this lending institutions, the informal lending institutions.
Yeah.
So loan sharks, they are failing, because in fact people are openly, even on their posters when they are advertising their businesses of loan sharks, they are saying that you can get a loan, you don't need a bank statement, you don't need what, but interest is at 50%. That's illegal, according to the Act.
Mm-hmm.
So we've asked Bank of Namibia to actually say, is it not possible, and we've asked members of parliament to say, can we not perhaps expand the powers of the Bank of Namibia to ensure that this credit scheme or loan sharks do not go out of hand the way they are going out of hand right now? I'm telling you now, there are a number of loan sharks where you can just get a loan without a bank statement, without a payslip. I have also seen equally, I have seen payslips of colleagues who work in government. And the take home from their salaries of 15,000 or 25,000 is 410. That's the lived reality. So we are saying that we must regulate, not to restrict business in our country, not to chase away investors, but we must regulate to ensure that we protect Namibians from predatory practices and predatory access to predatory schemes like loan sharks.
Yeah. Now, can you walk us through what you suggested, what a target, you mentioned a targeted debt relief program. So can you walk us through what targeted debt relief program might look like, who qualifies, and how much relief could they expect?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the things that I must say is that most importantly, before we get to that, the banking sector must be reoriented to serve not only its shareholders, but the broader Namibian society.
Yeah.
What we also proposed was to say, we need a gold accumulation strategy to be accelerated. You know, imagine Namibia, do you know that Namibia, this country has gold, but we don't have gold reserves in this country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What we have is foreign reserves. But imagine if we could target 5% of that as a hedge against currency instability and a bargaining tool in debt restructuring negotiations, to say, look, we have gold, but we are targeting at least 5% of our foreign reserves as a hedge against currency instability and a bargaining tool also in debt restructuring negotiations, number one. Two, the most affected people those who are affected by debt, in fact, do not have access to basic information.
Yeah.
Number one.
Mm.
Two, why is it that in our education system, financial literacy is not a priority? No one talks about that. How is it that you can go through grade 1 to 12
yeah.
in our education system and you don't have a basic module on finance, budgeting, the importance of responsible borrowing? Because you know what? You also come to a point to understand that not all debt is bad. Not all debt is bad.
Yeah. No, definitely.
Mm. Yeah. So why are we not taught those things in school? Basic finance.
Yeah.
So well, that's why we're also proposing that we must have, at some point, we must agree that we must teach our people finance.
Mm. So, and that's what you actually meant with targeted debt relief program, isn't it?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because you know what? It's one thing to clear everyone's debts today, but it doesn't mean anything if the next day they're going back to loan sharks to go and borrow.
Mm.
So we must have a national program, awareness program on the responsible borrowing.
Yeah. So you call the current financial system a financial entrapment. What is broken in the system that is trapping so many Namibians?
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said you called the financial system a financial entrapment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my question is now, what is broken in the system, in the financial system that is actually trapping so many Namibians?
Well, the architecture of our financial system is very often praised for its resilience and being sound in terms of regulation.
Mm.
But in this very thing, you find that there's a number, it actually promotes inequality.
Yeah.
The Bank of Namibia, we are an induction program. Sorry. We're an induction program with the Bank of Namibia.
Yeah.
They affirmed that our financial sector, you know, remains robust. It's anchored by a stable exchange regime and high capital adequacy ratios.
Yeah.
But then at some point you ask, stable for who? Stable for the stakeholders? Because it is not, the banking sector is certainly not stable for the small-scale farmer in Omusati, whose harvest cannot meet repayment obligations. Not for the informal trader, cousin, the guys who sell us kapana in Katutura, whose gains are devoured by predatory repayment cycles. And absolutely, this system is not stable for the teacher in Kobabas, who is forced to borrow from her own future just to make ends meet.
Mm.
I brought up a conversation and it looks at our peg, the peg to the South African, rand.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So what I said is that the peg to the South African rand has always been viewed as a stabilizing mechanism. It's shielding our economy from currency volatility.
Yeah.
But this stability also comes at a cost, or this protection from volatility or monetary volatility.
Mm.
The fact that our repo rate is always relative to South Africa's repo rate, and it's always kept lower, was always meant or intended to support domestic activity. But what that means for a Namibian who lives in Namibia, it means that prime lending rates have completely been disproportionately high compared to South Africa. So when you are borrowing, you pay more than compared to a South African who lives in South Africa.
Yeah. So
and truly, what it does is that it actually reveals a flaw in the transmission of monetary policy.
Hmm.
In a larger view, it suggests that stability is not trickling down to those who need it most. The teachers, nurses that I just spoke about earlier on.
Yeah, you are pushing for a parliamentary inquiry into the currency peg. So,
yes.
what do you hope that that investigation would uncover or change?
And I need to clarify that, because most people think that this girl is crazy. She's even saying we must now de-peg from
South African. Yeah.
The parliamentary inquiry will try and find where the peg, where the Namibian to where our currency pegs to the South African rand constraints.
Yeah.
And that, obviously, you will find that it actually constrains us in terms of monetary policy. We don't have a lot of room to move around and be flexible.
Yeah.
In terms of our own domestic economy. We don't. Because of, in fact, even if you look at our commitment to SACCO, we don't actually, we are not the biggest winners in that arrangement. But what we are trying to say is, we want to find out where this peg constrains, where it empowers, and where we can re-strategize and reposition ourselves for bigger gains or for bigger benefits for our country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And obviously, like I said, we cannot as a country reform what we are unwilling to interrogate. We must interrogate these things. It's a healthy conversation to say, look, if everybody is so convinced that we are gaining from this South African rand peg, why don't we have an honest conversation about it?
Yeah.
Because there's absolutely no perfect arrangement in economics. That's economics 101. You have to forego a number of things for a peg.
Yeah. Mm.
But we must see where it constrains us so that we can recalibrate. We must see where it empowers us so that we can continue with what we have been doing or expand at least in those areas where the peg to the South African rand is really benefiting our country.
Yeah.
But hey, it disempowers, then we must try and re-strategize and reposition ourselves as a country.
So, yeah, you have also suggested or proposed capping interest rates through changes to the Banking Institution Act. So how would that change? You know, how would that actually change things for someone who is actually borrowing money today?
Well, one of the things that I must say from the onset, the Bank of Namibia, I think about a year or 2 years ago, actually issued a directive to the banks on reducing the interest rate differential between the repo and the prime lending rate.
Yeah.
So what that means is that the Bank of Namibia saw that there was a crisis, right? And there was a crisis in terms of what the banks were charging us in terms of interest. And there was also a crisis in terms of whether that was proportionate to our repo rate.
Yeah.
So they issued a directive to the banks to say, no, this is completely going out of hand. If we're going to have an honest conversation about it, this conversation is even bigger than just banks. I mean, you look at the rental market, for example. I'm telling you now, most of the people, a one-bedroom apartment that would have costed you 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 5,000 or 3,500 is now selling at 12,000.
Yeah.
So if we don't have a cap, I'm not saying regulate businesses to a point where it stifles even the investor so that businesses can close down in this country. I'm saying regulation must be done to protect Namibians from exploitative practices.
Yeah.
Mostly by banks, because they do it. If we don't have a cap on interest rates, for example, because of let me tell you, in 1 year, I'm saying this from even personal experiences.
Yeah.
When you buy a house, because of the fluctuation in the market, every year, your interest that you pay to the bank always increases. It always increases. Always. I can tell you this. In fact, when you're buying a house, one of the first things you must look at, and even those in this business will actually tell you that you must always try and calculate the hidden cost. Hidden cost is basically your levies, which keep on going up on your property. And if we don't put a cap on it, it will just keep on going up and up and up. You'll end up paying for a house that you thought you're going to pay it off in 20 years. You're actually going to 25 years.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's not repossessed. So we must cap interest rate. Of course, there are market fluctuations that influence this interest rates and repo rates and so forth.
Yeah.
But if we don't regulate it, it will be completely out of hand, just like it is now.
Yeah. So the other things, maybe you also mentioned, it's the instant payment solution platform. which sounds very interesting. So how could that be used to deliver financial education to people across the country?
Well, the instant payment is that the instant payment platform is an initiative that the Bank of Namibia is actually engaged in, and we actually presented that in one of our induction programs.
Mm-hmm.
And what we said was that instant payment, we want to introduce an instant payment platform where instead of paying for every transaction that you make on your phone or going to the bank,
yeah,
because for you to send money, in fact, this is the reality, right? Let me be honest. For you to keep money in a bank, you pay for money. You pay with money.
Yeah.
For you to make a transaction, you must also pay with the same money that you are keeping in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
But what they are trying to introduce a new initiative, a platform where you can do instant payments, and those instant payment is actually free. Where you, if you're going to send money to somebody, it's absolutely not going to cost you a cent.
Yeah.
Right? So it's really aimed at making sure that everybody has access to the legal that they have, and they can do the best with what they have, instead of saying, I'm going to pay or I'm going to have charges on the transaction that I just made.
Mm.
Truly, that is what it's aimed at.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me go back again to the debt relief. Some might argue that debt relief could actually encourage reckless borrowing in the future. And I think I heard someone, if I'm correct, someone said that in the parliament. How would you ensure that this program, it doesn't create bigger problems down the line?
Well, one of the things that we must really get out of our heads is that people don't borrow for fun. I mean, there's a small portion of Namibians who borrow to, I don't know, to show off or live a life that they cannot afford.
Yeah.
That's a reality in our country. But the majority of the borrowers, the majority of the people who are in debt, they actually borrow to make ends meet, because their salaries are simply not enough to meet the day-to-day needs. I think there was a study some time back that looked at what an average Namibian needs, how much you need to meet basic needs. And they did a calculation of things like bread, they did a calculation of electricity, they did a calculation of water, and so forth. They actually said, per month, you need to, regardless of what you earn, you need to at least have a $2,000 Namibian dollar to meet your basic needs. In fact, even that $2,000 is not enough. At some point, you will have to top up on electricity.
Yeah.
At some point, you'll have to top up on water. What I'm saying is, yes, and I agree with those who say there is also reckless borrowing.
Yeah.
Mm. But it's our responsibility to stand with our people. And in doing so, of course, there will always be those who say that. But we must also encourage awareness. That's why I'm saying we need a nationwide campaign on responsible borrowing.
Mm-hmm.
We need a nationwide campaign on finance, managing finance, basic finances, drawing budgets. I mean, how many of us actually sit down? How many of us can say, I sit down at the end of the month or before the end of the month and I calculate my monthly expenditure, I calculate my monthly savings, and I can assure you that 30% of my salary does not go to expenditure, it actually goes to savings. How many of us can say that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I promise you 10 to 20 minutes interview, but, you know, so many things comes out, actually, you know, that you covered. So now, if your motion passes, what is the first step you would want to see to get this debt relief rolling? What is the timeline you are hoping for?
Well, the motion will pass, like I can tell you. It will go to committee level.
Yeah.
I can't anticipate what members of the public will say, because part of the process that is undertaken by Parliament is that there must be a nationwide consultation.
Yeah.
So the committee is actually led by a former governor of the Bank of Namibia, who is Honorable Shimi, and former Minister of Finance, who is now chairperson of the Economics Committee.
Yeah.
And the committee will be mandated to actually consult each and every Namibian. So I'm sure that they will be holding regional consultations. They will be writing and having interviews with you to hear from Namibians, what is it that we can do?
Mm.
can't say I know everything and I know how to fix the system. It's an entrenched system. It's a system that has existed longer than my 29 years of existence in this country.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very complex issue. But one of the things that I really want to see is that I hope that finally we can have conversations about financial institutions that have for a very long time been insulated from criticism.
Yeah.
Very, very often we don't talk about banks. We like to blame each other, and perhaps, like Sankara says, and many philosophers and activists who have said in the past, the enemy, while you are trying to fight corruption and while you are trying to fight an unjust system, there will always be a brother of yours who will fight for the very system to stay.
To stay.
Because we benefit from that system.
Exactly.
So, at the very least, what we can try, what I hope for, is that Namibians can come out to share their experiences with banks, to share their experiences with loan sharks, those who have been repossessed, whose houses have been repossessed. I also hope that they come out and share in their experiences as to what happened and what is it that we can do, not only from a legislative point of view, also from a policy-making perspective.
Yeah.
So, that is really the least expectation from my side.
All right. And probably finally, what is your message to Namibians who feel crushed by debt right now? And what hope can you offer them as you push for these changes?
Well, I think somebody needs to say it. Getting a loan to pay off another loan is definitely not a wise financial decision.
Yeah.
And we shy away from financial conversations because they've always been considered a taboo, even in our cultures, different cultures. Talking about money in the household has always been considered a taboo, just like talking about sex has been a taboo in this country for a very long time, and maybe still is. But taking a loan to cover up another loan or to pay off another loan is not a wise financial decision.
Yeah.
And someone has to say it. But hope is here. We will continue pursuing this fight for economic justice because it's not also just a fight to clear your debt. It's a fight for equity. It's a fight to say that when we create access to funding, it must not be access to predatory funding or predatory credit.
Mm.
It must be safe. It must be a safe financial architecture, where you can also enjoy the benefits of your money and you don't have to die before your kids or your family actually sees that you're a responsible spender.
Yeah.
But for now, what we can encourage is just responsible spending and responsible finance management and being aware and being alert to various schemes that are going on, especially with the introduction of the AI, artificial intelligence, so people can just take a video of you saying, "No, I run a company," and so forth, just send me 500 or send me 5,000 and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Schemes, illegal schemes, and they are happening and they're harmful to the lives of our people. Our people are desperate. They are overworked. They are underpaid and very often ignored. But what I can truly assure the Namibian people is that we're dealing with it. And we will find a responsible solution to it. I don't know everything. I don't hold all solutions. I don't have the answers to everything. That is why we have a parliamentary committee that will go and do an investigation, an inquiry into a number of things that actually affect us and affect our day-to-day lives.
Honorable Ngari, thank you for having you on Unpacking the Day. As always, you are one of the parliamentarians who make time to speak to the public, and we applaud you for that, and we thank you for that, and thank you for shedding light on the emotion that you tabled in the parliament for our listeners this morning. Thank you for coming through today.
Thank you so much, and thank you to your listeners also.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. That was the Member of Parliament, Ina Hengari, really shading lights on the motion that she tabled in the Parliament. So When we come back, we'll open up the line for you to come through and have your reaction and comment on our discussions. So stay tuned.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Very good morning on this cold, cold Friday. If you're just joining us, we have been warming you up. You know, when you talk about finance, you know, it's something that most people actually pay attention to. That's when you have people paying attention. So I hope you are paying attention. And now you're most welcome to come through and probably react to our discussion, which was very, very, very interesting. I think it's this, we're looking at emotions that actually she tabled in the House of Parliament. And which actually proposed reform that is aimed to, you know, to address both immediate financial distress our civil servant, not only civil servant, actually, people are going through, and also a long-term systemic issues. So by relieving a debt for civil servant, and then the plan could also improve their quality of life and productivity and benefiting public service like, you know, education and health and all that, and farmers and all that. So yeah, that's we really looked into a number of issues based on what she presented. And hopefully we have done justice to a number of aspects, you know, emanating from that motions. So now it's your turn. You're most welcome now to come through and have your say and all your questions or your take of the whole discussions, because that's a debate that is going on. And yeah, our telephone number is 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So the earlier caller, probably you were listening now, so you wanted to come already before we even discuss anything. Now we have, you know, there's so much that we have covered. Well, you are most welcome to come through now and have your say. All right. So our telephone number again, 0833-66091. That's the number to dial for you to come through. All right. So yeah, there are a couple of things that we talked about. Yeah, earlier on I was talking about the things that she's proposing beyond the debt relief, keeping interest rates. So I asked her about that as well. So yeah, and also regulating the informal lenders, which actually strengthening the oversight of informal lenders, which often charge, as I said, you know, really higher rate to protect. This is now the idea is to protect the borrowers as well, because it's look more like, you know, much of the regulations, it's to protect, you know, the business growth rather than also the households, you know. Yeah, the financial literacy campaign, you know, expanding the financial education, you know, nationwide. So we're talking about, you know, why this is not actually taught in schools. This is now to empower Namibians to manage their finances better and avoid us getting into debt traps. And yeah, so, but let's start from school, already. So yeah, we talked about the payment solution platform. Yeah, and she explained that as well. The Namibia fixed exchange rate with the South African rand, which sometimes limit Bank of Namibia ability to adjust monetary policies, so leading to some higher borrowing costs depending on South African repo rate. So yeah, Hungary has called for now the parliament inquiry to examine how this peg affects a lending rate and economic policy, potentially uncovering ways to mitigate its impact on the borrowers. So yeah, this issue is complex. it is complex. As the peg provides, as those who argue that the pegs actually, and she mentioned that as well, is that those who argue that the peg provides stability, but she said that actually restrict flexibility in addressing domestic economic challenges. So as much as it provides stability, but then it restricts the flexibility in addressing the domestic economic challenges. Yes. What else? What else do we talked about? Yeah, I bring up the concern that when using now the Velvetia fund for debt relief raises several concerns. For example, depleting the future resources. So the fund's relatively modest size now at $24.3 million. So may not be sufficient to address the widespread debt crisis, and using it could reduce actually the resource for future generations. Yeah. So, and also you have those also raise the issue of those who worry that debt relief might signal to borrowers that future bailouts are possible, potentially leading to the irresponsible financial behaviors, which also she, you know, acknowledge. Yeah. And so the, what else? Yeah. What is your take? I'm trying to put my, you know, my thought together or things that we have discussed so far. So Yeah. And where were you? So what have you taken? What is your take? Please do come through. Our telephone number is 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. So, yeah. So, yeah, if we look overall, on the aspect of a Hungary proposal, basically, it's a death relief program, which she's saying now use part of the $24.3 million virtual fund to support civil servant and the low income householder. So, and the other aspect is then the interest rate, the interest rate cap, which she say now amend Banking Institution Act to limit now the loan interest rates. So, and the regulation of lender, where now she said strengthen oversight of informal lenders and digital loan apps, charging those charging over 50% interest. And then the other part of now her proposal, that's the aspect of Hungary's proposal. Now the financial literacy. So, which she proposed launch a national campaign and use the instant payment solution platform, for digital education. And, the social the social investment portfolio, where she proposed that support youth enterprises, green cooperatives and small business to boost the economy. And the other aspect then is the currency that we just talked about, the currency peg inquiry, that investigate how, the fixed exchange rate with South Africa, rand affect borrowing costs. Yeah. And basically those are some of the aspects, you know, and as I said, so her motion is now with the Parliamentary Standing Committee for review. And indicating that future debate and refinement are needed. All right. So, do come through. Our telephone number is 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chika wa shafa sana nana alonge shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Zeitha nina omayaguro ni randisa umwa yoye, yonge shifa yoye okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
This is Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station in town. Well, wherever you find yourself, in the land, and if you're outside of the country, probably, we could be also number one in the world. Possibly, yeah? All right. So we could be. We aspire to. So that's what we aspire to. You know, we aspire to be number one talk radio station in the world. All right. So now, well, if you want to come through and have your reaction or discussion with the Member of Parliament in Ahengari, please do so. Our telephone number is 0833-66091. Since we, anytime, you know, you, even when I'm going on with some, with a different, aspect, you're welcome to come through and just engage me at any point. All right. So, since we are on loans and debt reliefs that we talked about, maybe let's get into let's talk about a big move by the government, to help civil servant also, the same thing. To help civil servant get into their homes. All right. So this is also something I already have talked about. So this is now this is reported in a number of publications, and it's got people debating. Some with some hope and others with, you know, with worry how this is going to happen. So this is about the pension backed home loan scheme. The government, a new pension backed home loan, the PBHL scheme, which is actually designed to make housing more affordable for civil servants, like teachers. We talked about teachers here with even the debt relief that she was talking about. So, teachers and nurses, are they underpaid? Because when it comes to anything, it's referring just to teachers and nurses, you know, are the only one underpaid in the civil servant, you know, as a civil servant. So, yeah. And, you could be a clerk, government clerks as well. So, yeah. So now this scheme, this, pension fund, a pension backed home loan, scheme, is actually designed to make home more affordable for civil servant. And here is how it works. Here is how it works. So if you are a member of the government institution pension fund, the GIPF, you can use part of your pension saving as a collateral to get a home loan. Okay? This means instead of relying just on your payslip to qualify for a mortgage, for example, your pension act like a safety net for the lender. Okay? If that makes sense. Yeah, for the lender. So you can use the loan now. So once it acts as a collateral, so you can now use the loan to buy house, build one, or renovate your current place. So, or pay off existing mortgage. You can also use that actually to pay off your existing mortgage, or even improve actually basic living condition if you want to, like adding maybe a proper roof or plumbing, whatever the case may be. Okay. So the finance minister announced this in the parliament, calling it a step forward, tackling, you know, household inequality and helping a public servant live a dignified life, you know. So, here is actually the selling point. You know, here is the selling point. I found it very interesting when it comes to interest rate. And this is also what the MP Hengari was talking about, the emphasis that we're talking about, the exploitative of consumers by the banking sectors. Now, here is now the selling point, the big selling point for this scheme. So the interest rate is lower than what you would get from the bank. So it set the bank of It is set at the Bank of Namibia's repo rate plus 2.5%. So right now, with the repo rate is at 6.75%, that means you are paying 9.25%. So because you plus the 2.5. So that's now you are paying 9.25% interest. Now compare that to the standard mortgage rate of about 11.5%. So you are actually saving about 2%. So I think that's a selling point. You know, that is a selling point. So for someone earning say a 10,000 a month, that could mean $100 less, yeah, less in a monthly repayment. And this is what we were discussing now, which is not a small thing, which is not a small thing when you are, you know, when you are juggling with bills. I tell you now, even now, $10 means a lot. $10 means a lot. I mean, it means a taxi or it means, you know, bread. So yeah, it's not a small thing, you know, especially for many families that's actually juggling with bills, school fees. Yeah, there's still, you know, when you say school fees, there are still fees that are paid. And groceries. So that, I think that's great. Yeah. And, well, but before we get too excited, let's hear the other side. That's what we do here. Yeah? It's for you. It's to open your eyes, and it's not just to say, "Well, hallelujah, you can praise the Lord." No, let's also hear the other side. So we have other, you know, people who have a different opinion about that. Yeah, the Teachers Union of Namibia is not impressed. They are not impressed. They are calling this scheme just another bank, you know. It's just another bank product that it doesn't really empower workers. Yeah, let's get to the one who's knocking on the door. Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Eagle FM, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Good to the mic.
Yes.
On the issue of withdrawal from the pension fund.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Mm.
Whoever is saying it's not a good idea.
Someone said just that's another bank product, just like others.
No. The only thing we need to do,
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe parliamentarians, when they invite, because I hate in parliament, if they invite, the minister invites the JIPF or whatever, or pension funds.
Yeah.
Because actually, other pension funds are doing it, but they are doing it longly. They are doing it for profit.
Mm.
You see, for me, my suggestion would have been,
yeah,
let's put it as a program run by government, including parliament, whatever. Okay, let's look at the government, where we need to measure the output with time.
Yeah.
You get my point?
Yeah.
Because let it not be just something we have, the minister have thought about and leave it in vacuum or in a space whereby we don't need to measure. Because if we measure, then we know our program or project, how successful has it been from this period to this period.
Mm.
You see, you realize that this program has been there from other pension funds. But the measure, since it has never been measured, we don't know how much impact it have created to the society.
Yeah.
Is it? Because if we have to say, what is it for? Is it to empower people or empower people so that they can get out of poverty or those things?
Yeah, that's basically the idea, yeah.
Yes. Then if we have to measure it, Then when we will discover that, no, I think this is not the only area people need help.
Mm.
People might need help in this other area also. But because government cannot fund everything, people can still fund themselves for certain things, but guided by government, guided by the government.
Mm.
You get my point?
Yeah.
So maybe with even interest, with time, then people realize, maybe government realize, I don't need to charge these people in interest, because now what they are doing, they are bringing development to the nation. You get my point?
Mm.
Because then we won't look at it as an individual program or project. It will be looked at as a national project program. But Namibians themselves fund it for themselves. Then we don't need to go to IMF. We don't need to go to whoever. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
Because certain things, government will be able to. Look, what I'm trying to say is, assuming that we look at one village in this country, let's look at one village. In that village, government used to provide food relief, relief food,
drought relief program. Yes,
Let's say in that village, two or five people are working.
Mm.
Government still provide, because most of the people are not working. Now, if you get five people who are working in that village, they put boreholes. Because they build their homes, retirement homes, and then they put boreholes.
Yeah.
You see it? So those boreholes will be used by the community. It's not an individual. Now it becomes a community issue.
Mm.
You get it? Mm. Where the community now will benefit from these people.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah. Mm.
Yes. The community will benefit from the people. Then they can do gardening. When they do gardening, a person who didn't have now can go and have a small garden where they can sell. Is it? The effort that came from another person, because in Africa we help each other.
Mm.
Yes. Is it? If I put a borehole in the village, it's not mine alone, but the money was mine, but it's for the community.
Yeah.
Is it?
Mm.
So the person who didn't have will also benefit. They can also now do some few things here and there. Is it? So they can run a small business or small garden.
Yeah.
Which provides, let's say that person makes a small garden, the other person, then they can sell to the big market.
Mm.
Let's say to town, because we are from the villages, we sell to our nearest town.
Yeah.
Those people are working in that area, they will be consuming what we produce.
Yeah. What you're actually saying is that, the bank, for example, the traditional bank make it difficult for people to access finance. So this would be a way to help civil servant
areas,
rural people, those are who cannot really do it in a traditional
way. Who doesn't have a collateral.
Exactly. So and that would bring development in the village. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
And then the government chooses to provide relief food will no longer provide relief food. So that money the government was supposed to spend on relief food is directed to something else.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You get it?
Mm.
Like, let's say, for example, we're healthy, no one can have. So then the government will direct that small money to healthy issues.
Yeah.
Or agriculture issues. Or then now they'll take that money, say, okay, instead of now funding these people, giving these people food, we use the Chinese proverb. Eh? Teach man, how to fish.
Yeah.
It is. You don't now give the money fish.
So.
Is it?
Yeah, no, that money, as you said, can be diverted to health, where people don't go away without medicine anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You see, so we shouldn't just leave it in open space. We need to see how do we measure. Because with measurement, then it will come with accountability.
Hmm.
Yes. So, like other people are saying, we need to come up with a mechanism. How do we manage this fund that the people are not misusing it to buy food or whatever? They use it for the intended purpose. Because when we are giving it to the people, we say, look, it's for the future because it's your pension money.
Yeah.
That is going to prepare your pension, your retirement home. And in your retirement home, you have to go to a home where which is a convenient home. You won't find, this what we call old age homes in town. No, they won't be there. You see, with time. Because now people can stay in their villages and do business within their villages.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. Just because then it can be. Most people were like they. You are in town now, but as you reach 50 or whatever, so you're more likely to move to your place of birth. You know.
Yes. Mm. Yes. So that's the only thing. Maybe I can my idea or my request would have been to the government.
Yeah.
Maybe let's start measuring, including this whatever Medicare aid, whatever they offer. It's only the other pension funds. So that money shouldn't be restricted to town, because look, in previous years, why was it restricted to town, to cities? Because capitalists designed in such a way that for us, the people who are going to support the system, are from the city or towns, let's just towns, you see.
Yeah, we're going to have a quick commercial.
Okay.
And then maybe you can come and just conclude.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Mm. Yes, and conclude. Yeah.
All right.
June 7 Adventure Tours is offering an exclusive 20% discount for all local Namibians for the month of June and July. Get ready for an unforgettable quad biking and sandboarding adventure in the dunes. Parents, please bring the children to come and have fun on 20% discounted prices this coming June and July month. For more information, contact 081-624-9665.
All right. So,
okay. So that's the thing on the pension fund withdrawal. Maybe with time, the minister will realize that there's no need for people to pay interest because they are contributing to the development of the country.
Yeah. Mm.
So that interest, whatever, or paying back, would have translated like, look, they are also helping government.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so they should be given something, how to call it, is it a relief or something like that?
Yeah.
Have been appreciated, yes.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Because that will be the mechanism of measuring.
Yeah.
Then now, on the other one is what now, you know, where I'm more concerned is. Also, I think it's time now, the way I think last time I said it again, they should also, the Minister of Health maybe find out from her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Find out from her, because we also have to contribute to the development of free health care.
Mm.
So, maybe government, she must go to parliament and maybe make a proposal that, look, pension, the medical aid money, and the minister of, also the minister of ICT, they must also, these things of trying to expire, money expiring, it should come to an end. Because you cannot, data, Mike, you buy data.
Yeah.
For $30, yeah? This is your money you have worked at.
Mm.
They tell you, after that money, if you keep that money in your pocket, it will be there for two years.
Yeah.
It won't expire. But if you buy data from Telecom or MTC or Paratas or whoever, they tell you cannot use it for within 5 days.
Yeah.
If you don't use it within 5 days,
it
expires.
Mm.
That's your money.
That's true.
Don't you think that this thing is just, it's what? It's safety by cheating.
Yeah, no. I think it's something worth following up, actually. Yeah.
They must come to us and tell us, how does it expire? Because this money, if I will keep that money, I'll stay with my $30 in my pocket for 30 years.
Mm.
Yes. But what happens if I just convert it into data? You tell me this data expires.
Yeah. Mm.
Why? Because they want to make more money. That's why MTC doesn't make money either Telecom in a transparent way.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes.
I think
because
it's something.
MTC have made a lot of money. How did they make this money?
Mm.
By stealing from people.
Something I never really thought about it.
They can come and argue with me.
Mm.
You see, they can argue with me. They can say it's plunderism, which is plundering, which is commercialized. You see, and we normalize or we accept that safety should be part of our livelihood.
Yeah.
Yes. If I go to MTC and I take a phone and I say no, and I don't pay, they'll come for me. They won't say no, because you did not pay for this period, your debt expires.
Hmm.
How come my data expires but their debt doesn't expire?
Yeah. I would probably come up with a show that I would, where I invite everybody to come through and actually just come through and highlight things that that they feel that we need to address, because this is one it's very important, I think, you know. Yeah, so it's an aspect that we one can really go into it.
Go deeper into, because Medicare Aid, you don't use it for 1 year.
Yeah.
You don't get sick.
Yeah.
Then come next year, they tell you that money expired. Now, you get sick within that period. They don't look at, this person have been contributing to this Medicare Aid for the past 5 years, and they have never used it.
Okay.
They treat you as if you are a new guy.
Yeah, let's see if there's someone else coming through, yeah?
All right, all the best.
Okay, good man. Mm. A very good morning to you, and if you're just getting, you know, if you are just getting on board, you are on the right boat, and we are heading towards the end of the programs. We still have about 11 minutes to go. Yeah, our time, it's about 90 minutes past the hour of nine, and this is Unpacking on Eagle FM, live on Eagle FM. So, well, do come through. And earlier on, I have a discussion with Honorable Hengari, looking at the death relief program or ideas or proposal that she has actually tabled, the motion that she tabled in the parliament. Just wanted her to really, explain that in details, and also looking at the nuances that probably challenges and issues that other people may have a concern about. Yeah, so we did that, and I was just following up with another a topic that relate to that. We're talking about we're talking about the what the government, the new pension backed home loan scheme, home loan schemes that was now launched, you know, by the Minister of Finance in the parliament. And we're talking about that this is designed to make housing more affordable for civil servant, like teachers. It's always good to refer to teachers and nurses, you know, as if they are the only civil servant. Yeah. So yeah, no. And the caller just came through and said, that's really a brilliant idea. One of the things is that, which I sell, actually the selling point for this idea is the interest rate. It's very, very low. It's about 9.25% interest compared to 11.5 from the standard mortgage normally. And you save around 2%, which is actually a lot of money that one can use actually to do. There are a few hundreds that you save that you can now use to buy a few things, you know? And I said, well, not everybody is impressed with that. As I said, Nantu is calling this scheme as just another bank product that doesn't really empower workers. And the argument is that a loan is still a loan. and if your salary is not growing, which is a point, if your salary is not growing, adding more debt could actually sink you. Yeah. So, which makes sense. They point out that the Labor Act says no worker, should take home, less than one third of your, of their salary after deductions. You should, as an individual, you should also be accountable, responsible. You don't just leave it to, you know, there is a scheme like that, and then let me start loaning or whatever. So see where you are And this is the whole questions that we talk, that the financial literacy that Honorable Angari was talking about. So, yeah, now, this is the, that's the argument. If this loan pushes you below that, it is breaking the law and putting families in a tough spot. So imagine a teacher, as I said, these are our favorite, civil servant examples, teachers and nurses. So imagine a teacher who is already paying off a car loan, for example, and the school fees. So adding a home loan might mean they are barely scraping by each month. So yeah, so the union is got a bigger vision too. You know, they want workers to have direct access. What they're thinking is that they want the workers to have a direct access to their pension saving, not just a collateral for loan, but to invest in things, like building a house or starting a business. So that's what they want. Okay. Not just as a collateral. Yeah. For a loan. So, and they're asking which is actually a valid question. Why can big companies get loan from pension funds, but regular worker can't use their own money, you know, to build wealth? So, and this is what always my boss said, you know, build wealth. All right. So it's a fair question, and it's get to the heart of what empowerment it's really mean. All right. So, let's get to a caller who is knocking on my door. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good.
Mm.
And what happened to your conventional radio here to the coast?
No, it's don't. Been a long time. Don't worry. It's coming. Don't worry. It's coming. All right? Don't worry. It is coming. Okay.
Oh, I thought you guys, you don't have expertise to outsource some from other entities.
No, we do. So it is coming. Don't worry. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are talking about debt.
Yeah.
So
For civil servants, especially.
Only for the civil servant.
No. You're most welcome. Not necessarily only that. You can have your reaction to anything. Yeah. Not only civil servant, but the topic has been,
maybe the problem lies with us, ne? We don't want to live below our means. But of course, there's no people, they don't borrow for fun.
It's easier said than done, ne? When we said, I understand when you say you don't want people, because sometimes the need just subside your means, isn't it?
Yes, but
you have a child that really there's just no bread at home. There's absolutely nothing, and what do? You go by the neighbor or wherever at a cash loan, you know, and that's how you trap yourself, into this. So if you decided that I don't, where would you go? If you have family member who said, okay, we're coming in and support you, that is something else. But there are sometimes where the needs just subside the means. Yeah.
Yeah. And the problem with it, once you finish servicing that debt, they will come back for you again. That you are also qualified. You can come follow again.
They're not even coming back for you. You the one. You are the one who's going back. You know.
Yeah, it will become a visa cycle.
Yeah.
Not all the debts are bad. Yeah. Some of them are good debts.
Yeah. No,
maybe
definitely.
they might just extend it to allow us to people to buy their assets.
Yeah.
Because the bank, they are not willing to finance the asset. They are only willing to ask to finance the their abilities. So yeah, if I want to start a business, they are not allowed to ask to borrow money from them. So maybe they might just change the law so that people can benefit from.
But there are also facilities in the bank that are specifically address those areas. It's just that maybe sometimes the requirements are that stringent that, you know, people it doesn't really meet, you know, our where we are. You understand?
I also want to send you to the this Popane to ask them for me for the newly pension. They are not getting. They are not getting their pension with once they turn 60. They have to wait for some months. Can you? I want to send you to them so that they can ask them for me.
Yeah.
Why is it taking so long for the newly pension to get their pension? Because some of these laws they need to be repealed.
Yeah.
Now, my mother in. She has been not working for the whole entire life. Once she turns 60, she's desperate for that money, but she's not getting the money immediately once she turns 60.
Yeah, I think this is one reason I know. I'm not saying that's the only one.
Yeah,
I think it's about system. When a person actually registered, they should actually be able to show up on the system. And once they aren't not yet on the system, even if you were already in the office and have been registered, you could actually go there today and actually take about 2 months or three before you are uploaded or something like that, before you are uploaded on the system. But there could be other things which is also maybe something that one can find out. Yeah.
Because you might just make it on 50, once he's 10, 59, then he's already entered in the system.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to make it easy for her to get access to that money. Immediately once
there's no excuse. There's no excuse. If the person is registered today, we hope that the next month they must start receiving the money. So there's no excuse. Even if I'm giving you that as an example, there's no excuse for that. They just need to improve their system.
If that's
the case. Yeah. So definitely there's no excuse. And one also need to take up that with them and really asking why are you taking so long? You know? Yeah.
Even the president proposed that all the law that are not benefiting the people, we must come forth and
get rid of them. Yeah.
Yeah. It's our country.
All right, man.
Okay, thank you.
Now, thank you for coming through.
Okay, sir.
All right. Well, that was Unpacking the Day for today. This Friday, this cold Friday. I hope that really warmed you up. Hopefully. Yeah. So, well, thank you for listening and please do keep listening. There are still a lot of programs and this definitely gonna warm you up. The Mind the Gap that is coming up, it's gonna warm you up. Because wherever you find yourself, that's going to put a little bit of a smile on your face. Okay. Stay tuned for, Mind the Gap. That's coming up with Helmut. And I guarantee you it's going to put some smile on your face. All right. So for us, it's only until Monday morning on Unpacking the Day. And, we will still each other. We'll still see or hear each other tomorrow. On Mind Better, starting around 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock. Make sure that you book the time for Mind Better. Well, for those who are listening, what we do, tell someone, that's how we make a difference. From me, Michael Chiavelli, until then tomorrow, goodbye in this cold Friday.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha, utekirwa kaguna, iimatina, omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana, longi.